We are back, baby. We are back with another episode of News from the Queue, your best podcast about horror, theme park news, seasonal events, whatever we want to talk about. I am Paul from Destination Geek, and I am joined by
Senor Eddie from Eddietainment. We're the bestest.
The bestest. It doesn't get better than this. You might as well just unsubscribe from everyone else and just subscribe here, because this week's episode, jam-packed Halloween Horror Nights news. We are going to talk about a new trading card game from Universal that will feature some iconic Universal Studios properties. We're going to talk about a ton of Halloween Horror Nights news. We're going to talk about the controversy this week surrounding Express Passes. We are going to talk about Scare Zone announcements, show announcements, leaks on Pandora. We're going to talk about all the things on this week's News from the Queue, so stick around for all of it.
It was a heavy week. Nothing heavier than the controversy, but we also got a ton of content for the coming Halloween Horror Nights. And the craziest part is we don't have it all yet, but we got a lot.
We got a lot, and we may even have a peek at what's going to be announced this coming week, because as of the time of this recording, we are recording this on Sunday, July 19th. I expect that the week in which this podcast will release will be a big week for Halloween Horror Nights. I think we're going to get some announcements. We're going to talk a little bit about that at the end of the show. We're going to get some maybe frequent fear ticket sales coming out. There's a bunch of stuff that's coming up. And so, like I mentioned, like I promised when we started this thing 15 episodes ago, we would get into haunt season. We are here. And we actually started talking about haunt season in our last few episodes, but I do want to give a shout out if you haven't listened to our last episode. Our last episode, Eddie and I talked about the latest news and things that are happening at Busch Gardens Williamsburg and King's Dominion out in Virginia. We also ended the episode talking about some of the breaking news for haunt season at the Six Flags parks, including the return of the Conjuring experience. So if you haven't listened to that yet, I will link it at the end of this episode. Make sure to check that out. It's a ton of fun. Even if you're not, you know, a Busch Gardens person, we talk about multiple parks. We talk about haunt season. There's a bunch of stuff. There's something in there for you. Make sure to listen to it.
Absolutely. And something left out of there, just to throw it in, because it got me excited. I think it got you excited as well. Since then, they announced also the Blair Witch. So
I don't want to get off track, but like Blair Witch is coming to Six Flags Great Adventure. No, Great America, which is in Chicago area. And it's coming to
what's Dorney Park.
In Dorney Park. Random.
Yeah.
Random places.
Yeah. I said, I don't know how they chose, but hey.
And are we going to see Blair Witch from, like, what does Blair Witch look like? I mean, we know if you watch the, I think it was a 2013 Blair Witch, the more recent Blair Witch movie that's just called Blair Witch, you get to see her in that. So maybe they'll base it off of that. Like, I don't know how you do a Blair Witch house without incorporating the fact that, like, they didn't show Blair Witch in the first few movies. We'll see. I'm looking forward to talking about it as more news comes out and as we get to experience it. Because Eddie may check out Dorney Park. I may check out Great America. So keep an eye out. You know, make sure you're subscribed to both of our channels, which is probably a good time to say. You can follow me on YouTube at Destination Geek. You can follow me on social media, X. No, not X. I'm not on X. Don't go to X. Go to Instagram and go to TikTok, Destination Geek HQ or HQ, if you're a European. And Eddie, where can they find you online?
They can find me at Eddietainment on YouTube and then Eddietainment 1 everywhere else. And I do have X.
Oh, Eddie's got X. I do have X, but it's just personal. Like, it's and I don't post on it, so don't bother. I post all the good stuff on TikTok. And OnlyFans. So, Eddie, you know, kind of Horror Nights adjacent.
Yes.
This week, I came across online something called Hellbreak Trading Card Game. And I don't know if you've heard about this.
How did you come upon it? That's a question I have for you, because I didn't see it anywhere but you.
Maybe an ad or like my algorithm pushed a post to me. So, you know, Hellbreak is a trading card game from gaming company Spin Master, designers Ghost Galaxy. but also in partnership with Universal Products and Experiences. So it, okay, you know, so right now trading card games are huge. You've got people literally fighting over Pokemon cards. I don't know if you've seen some of the recent videos from this past weekend. Disney had at Disney Springs or Downtown Disney, I don't remember which one, had a Lorcana release where people were literally like fighting with security, climbing over fences to be first in line to get these Lorcana cards. You know, so trading card games are big right now. And Hellbreak is going to be Universal's version of their of the trading card game. And so Hellbreak is actually a little bit, is more horror themed, obviously. It's called Hellbreak. So, but it will feature licensed Universal properties, but also licensed properties from like things we've seen at Halloween Horror Nights, which is kind of cool. So the first licensed properties are going to be your Universal monsters. It's also going to feature characters from the Jaws franchise. It's going to feature characters from Tim Burton's Sleepy Hollow movie. But they've already announced that future you know, partnerships will include Blumhouse, AMC, I think Lionsgate. So, you know, we may see some we may see some Megan in there. We may see some of the Blumhouse characters like Bagul and stuff like that. We may see Walking Dead.
Saw? Is Saw Lionsgate?
Yeah, Saw's right. Lionsgate. So we may see Saw, you know, enter the fray here. Yeah, we talked about this on a prior episode, man. Like, I am a person. My hobby is hobbies, and so I, you know, I've been fighting this trading card game thing because I'm like, okay, like I'm not big into Pokemon. The Disney Lorcana thing almost got me because it's like I love Disney, but you know, I was like, but I fought it, and I'm glad I fought it. When I see people literally like climbing over fences to be first in line, but Hellbreak, man. I think Hellbreak's going to get me. Yeah.
Yeah, it sounds cool.
Sounds cool.
We talked about pin trading and how you're trying to avoid that as well. I recently got into pin trading, and it's a cool way of enjoying the parks. If you're a frequent park visitor, this is going to be a cool way, like a subset of Halloween Horror Nights, I feel. Something that the community could discuss in forums, and even in anticipation of Halloween Horror Nights, they may utilize this to do some hype for the event.
Well, and that's my thinking, you know, so this is basically like the Halloween Horror Nights, the trading card game, because it's basically, it'll have the same licenses that they typically go to for Halloween Horror Nights, you know, all in one place, except they can actually interact with each other through the game. But it, now the game, to my knowledge, comes out this October. So I don't know that we'll see much of a presence this year. Maybe we'll see some demos and stuff. I know they're going to start doing some demos and previews at Gen Con later in July in Indianapolis. So maybe we'll see some preview stuff at Halloween Horror Nights, which would be cool. But I think if the game does well by next Halloween Horror Nights, if I was a betting man, if the game does well, I would imagine we may see some Halloween Horror Nights icons.
Yeah,
brought into the trading card game, and maybe some Hellbreak releases and things like that in association with Halloween Horror Nights next year, because it is literally a Universal product. You know, Universal is involved in the creation of this thing. So, you know, much like Lorcana at Disney Springs or Downtown Disney, I would imagine we'll see some Hellbreak stuff at City Walk and at Halloween Horror Nights in the future.
And how sick would it be if they make it so some of like the booster packs or exclusive cards are only purchasable at the event?
Yeah. Or, you know, you have a special ticketed event, like your premium Scream Night comes with a special Hellbreak card.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know about you guys. Hellbreak TCG. So you can check it out online. HellbreakGame.com. They're also on all social media and stuff like that. I'm super excited about it. If you're excited about it, let us know in the comments down below. If you have played, previewed, if you're going to Gen Con later this month, Hellbreak, let us know in the comments as well. I'm super interested in this game. I'd love to learn more about it, and I would love to see it do well enough that they find some type of integration process with Halloween Horror Nights. I think that's one thing that, you know, that they've done in Halloween Horror Nights past, whether it's a mobile phone game or, you know, something like that, you know, incorporating some type of game experience into the event, you know, if it's a trading card game, even better, I think creates an added layer of interactivity with the event that would be cool in future years. So that is very exciting news. There was some less exciting news this week, which is that Universal has, I would say, officially announced, because they've done it via their customer service, you know, like on Twitter or X. They've done some replies to folks on that, and via that, they announced that this year, even though we will have Rush of Fear and the Frequent Fear options, I think it's Frequent Fear Plus, and Ultimate Frequent Fear. So we'll have those four products. But this year, for the first time, they will not be offered with an express option upcharge. So if you want, so even though you can go those nights, if you want express for the nights of that experience, you will have to purchase the individual nights that you want express for. They're saying they're doing it for crowd control, you know, to help improve the experience for others. So this kind of came out nonchalantly. Poor customer service. Probably should have planned that a little bit better, waited for an official media release. But, you know, it came out earlier this week as of this recording. Blew up online, Eddie.
Yeah. Yes, it did. And so funny enough, I told you I'm doing another video. It's a deep dive into that and like the business behind it. So I've done a little bit of research. As far back as I could confirm, this ticket existed all the way back in 2010. Some of my research hints that it could have even existed in some format as far back as 2003, but I couldn't find enough evidence to confirm that. But I have enough evidence to confirm that since 2010 to 2025, that ticket was available in some form or, you know, offering, which means after 16 years, this ticket is getting removed. And I do think, like you mentioned, customer service, like how do they plan doing this notification? Was the customer service angle purposely? Because maybe it seems more, you know, under the radar and they didn't expect it to blow up? Or was that unintentional? Because if they do an official announcement, then for sure it's going to blow up, right?
Yeah.
So if they do it and via response, then there's a chance it doesn't, even though it did. And I think it's rubbing people the wrong way. I'm not a purchaser of that ticket personally. So honestly, I'm indifferent. I know that you purchase it.
Yeah. But I was upset about it. I mean, I wasn't like, poke fights online about it upset, but I will say I was pretty, you know, like since I've been going with my big boy, you know, adult job, you know, I always ensure that, you know, I go to Halloween Horror Nights. I've been going since 2003, but I've been going pretty much consistently since, I don't know, 2007, give or take. I skipped like 2 years in there since 2007. So it's, you know, but one of the things I typically have gone for, especially since, you know, like I think you said, 2010, has been the Rush of Fear with Express, because I typically go early in the event. I go for opening weekend, and the cost of the Rush of Fear with Express is usually some type of savings over that opening weekend, the 3 days of opening weekend, with Express purchased individually. Don't get me wrong, it's not half the cost because I'm only going for three nights, but it saves me like $100 or something like that. Now, for those of folks who do go for the first,
the locals,
the locals who do tend to who can go the first 3 weeks and 3 weeks of the event, it's a more significant savings than it was even for me. So they would probably be even more upset. But for me, it was still a slight savings to do it that way. So I'm a little bit bummed. One, because it's a cost savings, but two, it's also one ticket. Because now I'm basically juggling four tickets, right? I'm going to be juggling my Rush of Fear pass, and I'm going to be juggling an Express pass for each night. And since I'm going to Premium Scream Night, I'm going to be juggling that ticket. So technically, I'm juggling five tickets on my phone, which means I need to make sure that my phone has enough juice throughout the night, for scanning at the Express. I know these are first world problems. So I'm not
complaining. Bring out the physical copy.
Yeah,
print out the physical copy, Paul.
Exactly, just print it out. But I will say, I can imagine that those folks who go to the event 10, 20, 30 times, you know, especially locals, and I'm not putting this on locals, because I think locals are what keep the event alive, if I'm being honest, because you have your locals who go every weekend, they spend money on food and cocktails and things like that. And that's where a lot of the money is really made at these events. Is that's why we've seen such a growth of food booths and specialty cocktails and things like that over these last few years, because they make so much money off of that. I think you want, I think by making this decision, you've unfortunately kind of, you know, hurt the local base. You know, and so it caused a lot of controversy, because some people are like, F the locals who crowd up the event and, you know, and ruin it for the rest of us with their express and make the, you know, make us wait 2 hours in line. And, you know, I think the thing that I would say to that is that they're still going to sell express passes. They're still going to sell a ton of express passes. You know, will it help with line maintenance? Maybe. You know, we'll see. You know, I don't know the numbers on that. I'm not a logistics person, you know, a theme park logistics person. So I don't know if removing express like they did for Hagrid's has helped with line control, stuff like that. But this is not saying anything negative about Universal necessarily, but I think it's a business decision.
Yeah.
You know, to remove express, because now that product that you weren't making as much money on, you know, like, you know, let's say you had 1,000 express passes, you know, sold through these frequent fear passes before. Now that was 1,000 one-time purchases. Now, so if those people even want to go twice to the event and want express, they're now purchasing 2 express passes, 3 express passes, 4 express passes, things like that. So, you know, I think from a financial decision standpoint, I get it. They're a business. Selfishly, I wish they would have kept it, but at the same time, like, you know, they're in it to make money, and that's a business. This is not the event that I first started attending back in 2003. It is bigger. It is more expensive. I mean, the cost of tickets is probably 4 or 5 times what it was when I first started attending the event. It's just the nature of business. So, you know, but it was, I mean, I was honestly more shocked at the level of ire on both sides of the fence online than I was about the actual announcement of it. It felt inevitable. It's already in California. It could be worse. Disney doesn't even offer, you know, like if you want to go to Mickey's Not So Scary Halloween Party, like you pay for every night you want to go to that thing, you know?
Yeah.
So and, it is what it is for me.
And to a lot of your point, and I think, you know, it's inevitable. They've been talking about it for a while now, and they've even been talking about multi-day tickets disappearing too, which I hope they don't do that. I think that is taking it too far, but potentially it could make a lot of sense for them business-wise.
I don't think they're going to ever get rid of multi-night passes. I could be wrong on that, but I feel like that is a step too far that will actually hurt them, because to my point, the investment they've made, and this is something different from California, and this is why I think, you know, people look at California and people look at Disney and things like that. I think that the investment Halloween Horror Nights has made in bringing people back for repeat visits, which is mostly your food booths. Like, you got to come back and try every dish. You got to come back and do every single, you know, thing. I think they want repeat visits. And so that's why I do think they will keep multi-night passes, at least for a while. Yeah. You know, but the Express is a premium product that they're now kind of making sure it's considered a premium product.
Yeah. And I'll give you a little bit of insight into the research that I did around this, because I did do a pretty deep dive. Although the information isn't public, and I'll say this, I don't think Universal did this because they hate the locals. I think Universal made the hard decision for what is Halloween Horror Nights today versus what it was before, because the locals, they're ambassadors, they're brand ambassadors of the event. They bring their friends, they talk about it online, they create content on their social media, even if they're not creators, right? People are posting about it all the time. But the thing that was kind of crazy to see, and this was just based off of general knowledge, not anything that Universal actually released, but if you were to do a comparison of a local over 4 days and a vacationer over 4 days, right? In order for you to gain the same amount of revenue from the local would have to come another 53 days to get the same revenue that you get from a vacationer in 4 days.
Wow.
And the sale of express passes, every single individual express pass impacts wait time for the next express purchaser, right? So you're purchasing an express pass to save you time. The later you purchase the express, the bigger the impact on the grand scheme of like consumers, and also the regular line. So giving somebody the ability to do 15 days of express, 20 days of express, however many days of express, has this grand impact that has a lot of factors, like, you know, do they come 15 days? Do they not? You know, when are they coming? That impacts the way that they're able to manage these lines. Because when it comes to express, and I guess not just express, but managing the lines, they have the regular line, they have VIP, they have RIP, they have express pass members, and they used to have frequent flyer with express. They have to manage all those different like angles. And by removing that, I think business-wise, it makes a lot of sense for them, but I get why people are mad.
Yeah, I totally get why people are mad. And I, you know, again, I side with them, with the people who are upset about the express, the multi-night express being removed. I would probably be just as upset as a lot of folks online if I lived there, if I was a local, because, right, you know, you do save up for those and you do tend to go to that event. Like, I go to the event, like, it used to be 2 times, then it became 3 times. Now I go to the event 4 times. I go premium screen and Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and then that's it. You know, we've talked about this in the past. Like, I've always wanted to go later in the event, but I've never like gone back later in the event. I've always, whenever I go to Halloween Horror Nights, I go for like 1 weekend only. I don't go for like 1 weekend and then come back. And so, but if I was a local who, you know, that's basically my social life for 2 months, yeah, right? Every weekend, hey, let's go to Halloween Horror Nights. Let's hit a couple of houses. Let's grab a couple of drinks. Let's go get a, you know, a crazy food item, you know, on a Saturday night. I get, you know, the upset, because, you know, that's part of the product, is you want to go, you want to experience, you don't want to spend your night in line. And now to have the same experience, you're paying significantly more. So I get it. It's less impact on me. So that's why I'm not as passionate about it. Eddie, like he mentioned, doesn't purchase express. So it's even less impact on him. But for me, I do understand the ire about the news. I think, let's see, you know, I'm curious to see how this goes. I would imagine, you know, in addition to the single night expresses, we'll probably see maybe the implementation of an Express Now option. So like individual house expresses that you can purchase on your phone. Like, you walk up, oh, you know, Hellraiser is a 2-hour wait. You know, you pay 20, 30 bucks, you get your one house express option. I would imagine we'll start seeing some of that creep in. I will say the only thing, or the main thing that upsets me about the announcement, this is the thing that gets me, is that they waited until the week before the express options were going on sale to unofficially announce it, because I wish they had announced it when express was put on sale to begin with, because it would have, I probably could have saved $100.
You could have purchased express a long time ago.
Yeah, because those express passes increase in price as people purchase them, right? So, you know, now it's like minimum $200 a night for the express passes, whereas when they first went on sale, they were not that expensive. And so that's the one thing that I do wish, had I had full confirmation, and this has been rumored for a long time, but had I had full confirmation that this is the way this year was going to go, I would have purchased those passes when they were cheaper. And so that's the thing that annoys me, is, you know, if you know this is going to happen, just put the news out earlier, because that probably would have helped some folks as well.
Yeah, but that's a good point.
Oh, go ahead.
Let us know down in the comments, though. What side of the fence are you on?
Yeah, where do you fall on it? Like, you know, I would love to hear your thoughts on this specific topic. Eddie, this was not the only controversy this week. Uh-oh. This was a controversial week in Halloween Horror Nights news.
What was the other one? Now I forgot.
I mean, it's not bad controversy. So this week, as typically happens, there's usually some type of leak of Halloween Horror Nights news that comes out. Either like Publix will put out a display early, or, you know, someone will leak some information. This week, Pandora had a commercial for Halloween Horror Nights, you know, some predetermined ad, that you know, I don't know how it happened, but I don't know if it played before it was supposed to or something got screwy, but it leaked via a Pandora ad that there will be a house based on the music of Ozzy Osbourne coming to this year's event. Now, again, not officially announced. The ad feels real based on what I've seen. I don't think it's a fake ad. People, you know, like it looks like it's real. But it has been one of the rumored houses this year. So I do think we're going to see an Ozzy Osbourne house this year. I think we will see an announcement this week as of this recording. An official confirmation, but yeah, I think, Pandora leaked that Ozzy Osbourne will be featured in the house. So now we have 9 houses out there. The only one that's left is the rumored Evil Dead Burn House, which is a little weird because that movie's now been out for over a week.
And why is that being saved for the end?
Yeah. Why is it being saved for the end? 2, why didn't they drop the news the day the movie came out? Because it might have helped the box office. It's not doing particularly well in the box office. So I don't know why they're holding on that one, but if that's even it, right? That's a rumor, speculation. But yeah, Ozzy Osbourne.
Maybe we get Hellblock Horror 2 now because that movie didn't do well in theaters.
Right.
But with the whole like Ozzy Osbourne thing, for those that are in the community, you already knew that this was coming, but it's interesting. I didn't know that James Cameron was behind the leak.
James Cameron.
Dad joke is Pandora.
Pandora. Oh. Brutal, Eddie. Brutal. I'm going to end this podcast right now. We are not back, baby.
We are gone, baby.
We are gone, baby.
Yeah.
Got so bad. But you know what? Well, obviously, doing the house posthumously has a little bit of sadness to it. I think that this house has a lot of potential to be really good and to be an homage to this legend, you know, much like the Wyatt Six house was an homage to Bray Wyatt. This being an homage to Ozzy, you know, has a lot of potential. I think Ozzy himself, you know, the character, you know, him as a character, him, his music videos, you know, everything about him has the potential to be a great Halloween Horror Nights house. So I think this has a lot of potential this year.
Yeah, no, I think so too. I'm excited for the Ozzy Osbourne house. I think similar to some of the like rock legends of the past that have come to the event, Ozzy Osbourne's house will do really well. But I guess we'll see if it actually gets announced. What if it was all fake? It was all a prank.
Right. What if it was all AI? You know, I will say, I don't know that I would love to hear your thoughts and thoughts from you guys listening right here. Has there ever been a bad Halloween Horror Nights house based on a musician?
Not that I can remember.
Yeah, not that I can remember, because I really liked the Weekend house.
Yeah, and before that,
I know there's been an Alice Cooper house, but I didn't experience it, but I've heard good things.
I experienced the Alice Cooper house, and the Alice Cooper house was awesome. And I mean, every single time that in the past that they've brought one of these celebrities, even Penn and Teller house was pretty sick. So,
I mean, you've got Slash, obviously, out in California, but the houses aren't based on him, though he has, you know, but the music has been, you know, produced by Slash, and those have been pretty solid too. But I mean, like literally a house based on a musician. And I know we never got the Billie Eilish house in 2020. I don't know.
Thank God.
How that was going to be. It would have been good, Eddie. We just made the point that musician houses are great. But you know, the Weekend house on both coasts, I thought was fantastic.
It was a great house. I don't know. We'll see how this house does. I have no fear that it's going to be a great house. I'm more worried about other houses.
yeah, same. I would say Ozzy has the potential to be a top 3 this year.
Oh, for sure.
But moving away from houses, this week had some officially announced news, not just controversy, yes, but officially announced news. You know, I think there was a lot of anticipation as of Monday. You know, Halloween Horror Nights put out the announcement of the first officially announced scare zone. And I think people thought that we would get a week full of announcements. And unfortunately, you know, we didn't get announcements on Friday. But we got announcements Monday through Thursday,
yep,
for the event. But late last week, they announced that Nightmare Fuel would be returning with a new show, a vampire inspired show.
Boo.
That was announced late last week. But this
when is Nightmare Fuel going to run out of fuel? Get out.
You know, and I will say, folks really, you know, like heavily rumored that Nightmare Fuel was not going to come back, and that instead we were going to have a Jack show in that auditorium. And you know, I don't know if we're still going to have a Jack show or not. I don't, you know, or if it'll just be kind of within the zone, because now we have the announcements of two shows, and maybe we'll talk about that first and then we'll go into the scare zones. So we know that the show in the Fear Factor Theater will be Nightmare Fuel Blood Noir, which is a noir themed vampire Nightmare Fuel show. If you've seen one, obviously similar theme, you know, just, you know, similar type of show, just, you know, with that vampire theme. And we also know that the Lagoon show will be Stranger Things Return to Hawkins, which will be a celebration of all five seasons of Stranger Things. And the Lagoon show will only be focused on that one property. So previously the Lagoon show has had like multiple things, you know, whether it be Ghostbusters or, you know, whatever, has featured all like a bunch of major properties, but this one is Stranger Things only, Return to Hawkins. So, yeah. I mean, I think that has the potential to be pretty cool. I think
I'm excited for the Lagoon show.
Yeah. I mean, the Lagoon show is usually a fun watch. It's a nice, you know, like what I like to do for the Lagoon show, you know, cause I think, you know, you can, it just depends. Like there's a great viewing area, you know, obviously right there in Central Park, that's where most folks go. I tend to just kind of like go grab a beer at Duff's and just kind of watch it from behind Duff's, cause you can get a pretty decent view of it there. You know, but I think it's a fun, you know, time waster. It's a good, you know, it's not life-changing, but Lagoon shows are, you know, it's content to be pretty cool.
Yeah, I enjoy the Lagoon shows. It sounds like a little bit more than you do. Last year's Lagoon show wasn't the greatest, but the original Lagoon show was spectacular. And I remember that there was hints of Stranger Things in previous Lagoon shows. So I think having one completely focused on Stranger Things is going to be great. I think the score of Stranger Things is amazing. I'm not a huge fan of Stranger Things, by the way, but I think it will translate really well into the Lagoon show. And why did you give away the secret spot for viewing? Now it's going to be packed.
Damn, packed. We'll meet you guys there. Keep an eye out for us.
Right.
Yeah, I think, you know, there are a lot of investments in Stranger Things this year, which, you know, for it makes sense because of when they have to lock in these properties. Stranger Things is still on top of the world. We were leading into season 5. Unfortunately, season 5 kind of ended with a bit of a thud for some folks. So I think by now people are a little bit over Stranger Things. But that being said, you know, if this is the year to invest in it, you've got the house, you've got the show. You know, I think unless they bring Stranger Things back in some form of capacity, you know, on Netflix, I think this will probably be the last we really see of Stranger Things at the event. So it kind of makes sense that they're going out with a bang. Plus,
yeah,
I mean, I think it's got prime potential for a show, for a Lagoon show, just because, you know, the special effects, the music is so iconic in the show, that kind of thing. So I think it's got a lot of potential there as a Lagoon show.
And one thing that I saw somebody comment, or maybe you commented it, somebody commented this to me about Nightmare Fuel. Previous years, Nightmare Fuel has been carnival-esque based. And then the one year that the event's based on the carnival, they go vampires.
There is that, right? But Eddie, we have some carnival-based scare zones to talk about.
Oh, yes.
We have two official scare zone announcements and a third announcement that is not the full reveal. So this past Monday, the Infernal Carnival of Carnage was announced as the first official scare zone, or the entryway to the park, where Jack and Dr. Oddfellow will invite you to step right up and see what horrors hide in every shadow at a sinister spectacle decades in the making. So I think this will be your entryway into the park, and Minion Land or whatever that area of the park is called right in front. I think
Illumination Corner.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, whatever that main stretch of road is where we'll get this Infernal Carnival of Carnage. Makes sense. For what it's worth, I kind of assumed that because they've kind of been saying Infernal Carnival of Carnage since the very first announcement of the event. Yeah. So not surprised that this will be the entryway. Probably, a preview of the houses and stuff.
To that point, I think it's hilarious how everybody made such a big deal about the fact that all the first letters spell icon when that was like one of the first announcements of this whole entire season. I'm like, why is everybody so excited about this? The first couple letters saying icon was like the first thing Mike Aiello like pointed out at, was it Spooky Empire or something?
Yeah, it wasn't Spooky Empire. It was the other convention. MegaCon, maybe? I don't know.
I thought it was kind of ridiculous that everybody was pointing that out. I was like, you guys are just like reaching for content now. no shots fired.
No shame. We do it too.
That actually.
So I think obviously this one I'm excited about. I think, it'll be that entryway. I think much like last year with the conservatory, the entryway had like the different statues of the licensed properties. I think that's what Infernal Carnival of Nightmares will be, a little bit a carnival sideshow type theme that'll feature some way of displaying here are the main licensed properties or things you'll see at the event. With Jack and Oddfellow in the front greeting guests like Sinister and Surreal and like some other characters that they have in the past. So I think we've got a formula for that entryway now. I think Jack and Oddfellow are going to be great. Maybe we'll have both of them at the same time. Maybe sometimes it'll only be one, but I think it's cool. I mean, I think it's a good entryway.
And I feel like it's gonna tie in well with the Hollywood section, which I'm sure we'll speak of in just a second.
Well, and I think it's gonna tie in with both, right? So I think putting this out there. Much like when they had the Oddfellow year, remember when they had the year featured on Oddfellow, they basically said if you walk through the scare zones in a certain order, it was kind of the story of Dr. Oddfellow, right? This year, or when they had the Sinister and Surreal year, which I think was 2024, 2 years ago, remember if you went to the left to the torture fair, that was Sinister's realm. If you went to the right to the witchy realm, I don't remember the name of it, that was Surreal's realm.
Yeah.
So I think with the Infernal Carnival of Nightmares, if you go to the right, you're going to go towards Dr. Oddfellow's realm. If you go to the left, you're going to go to Jack's realm. So like through New York will be Jack, through Hollywood will be Dr. Oddfellow, because Hollywood will feature the return of Cindy in the Sideshow of Decay. These are both circus themed characters, so like it's still both circus themed, but to the right, Cindy's time has come with Dr. Oddfellow's dark sorcery. She opened a portal in the carnival's junkyard using it to resurrect decayed nightmares from the past that are back to haunt you. So Cindy is powered by Dr. Oddfellow if you go towards Hollywood, and I think the New York zone, which we'll talk about here in a minute, will be more like powered by Jack's magic instead.
Yeah, shout out to the caretaker's daughter.
Yeah,
did she ever actually have a year? I think she was supposed to come. She was removed because of
she was never featured as the main icon, but she's been featured in houses before.
Okay,
and scares her. Just never as like the lead character.
Yeah, so I'm excited to have her and hopefully see the caretaker in some form. That'd be cool.
Yeah, well, she's using it to resurrect decayed nightmares from the past that are back to haunt you. So I think what we'll see in this zone, I don't think this will be an icon zone necessarily, but I do think we will see previously featured Halloween Horror Nights creatures in this zone, in Cindy's zone. So Sideshow Decay, we'll see Cindy, we'll see some previously featured Halloween Horror Nights. So it'll be an anniversary zone of sorts, but not necessarily an icon zone. I think it'll just be like an anniversary zone with previously featured characters. Maybe Caretaker will be here. I don't know. Again, we've talked about like leaning into the lore is great. I love the fact that like you've kind of tied this whole like Dr. Oddfellow's care, you know, minions versus Jack's minions, depending on which way you go. I think that's cool.
Yeah, no, for sure. I'm excited, and I'm, you know my thoughts about Oddfellow. I'm trying to give Oddfellow an opportunity. I'm excited for the way that they're
opportunity. That they've
announced this. Listen, that's worse than my James Cameron one, I think, but I like it.
Yeah, it's worse.
The Carnival of Carnage reminds me of Carnival Graveyard in my head. I keep on, whenever I think of it, I think that. And that
well,
was
some of the props
house.
That have come out, you know, that are already out there kind of give that vibe, right?
Yeah.
That
Carnival Graveyard. Excited. Vibe. I'm excited to live that out again, because that was an amazing house. And that's making me come around to Oddfellow. Oddfellow, I haven't experienced him in a way that I've enjoyed, but this might be the year that I'm like, all right, I'll give it to you, buddy.
You're going to become an Oddfellow stan. He's going to have like an Oddfellow tattoo right here.
No, never that.
No, you're right. It'll be right here.
It'll be across my chest or my lower back.
Oddfellow is on his middle of his lower back. The final announcement this past week was that Killer Clowns from Outer Space will be returning to the streets of Halloween Horror Nights. It has also been revealed that is not the full reveal. And so what is rumored for the New York Scare Zone is that it will feature a number of clown properties, whether they're licensed properties or previous Universal clowns, you know, like the Treaks and Foons and stuff like that. So, you know, we'll see what's featuring that zone. We don't know the full reveal yet, but we do know that Killer Clowns from Outer Space will be coming to this event, in the streets of New York.
You don't sound excited enough. Guys, look at me in my eyes if you're watching on YouTube. The last time the Killer Clowns were at Halloween Horror Nights was one of the best years of Halloween Horror Nights. So the fact that they're returning, hopefully they just have that aura to them that they make an amazing year, Paul. Don't you remember the year that they were there?
I remember. I'm just not a Killer Clowns fan. But
still,
I will say
that year
I know people are. Yeah. You're not wrong. You're not wrong.
It's a cult classic movie. I'm not a huge follower of the movie. I enjoy the movie, right? But that year was so special that I'm hoping that this has that aura. It brings it back. I don't see anything in particular that sticks out to me, but wasn't that the same year that they had Trick or Treat?
I think you're right. Yeah, I think you're right.
Right? Yeah, Trick or Treat at the event was spectacular. Like, I'm hoping this has that type of energy that's brought to the event by bringing this property back from an epic year. That was like, what, 2019, 2018 or something? That was the peak of Halloween Horror Nights.
Okay. So Eddie's excited about the return of the Killer Clowns. I'm not excited. We knew with Jack and Dr. Oddfellow, this is going to be a strong carnival-themed year. I think we're going to get a lot of clowns. I think we're going to get a lot of, like, Dr. Oddfellow-type magic and stuff like that. And I love that they've themed the zones. You know, so we'll see. We've got at least two zones left to announce. You know, the New York zone, the Central Park zone, which is rumored to be based on Fort Nightmares. We'll see, you know, what that will actually be. And the party zone, Club Horror, which I don't know if it will be Club Horror again. We will find out soon enough.
Yeah, I'm not excited for Club Horror to return. But and one last thing for the clown zone, it looks like it's going to be like the biggest that area has ever been, too.
Yeah, because like it's now stretched all the way in front of Jimmy Fallon. Like, they have props in front of where Jimmy Fallon is, which is, you know, way bigger than it typically has been.
Yeah, so that'll be interesting. But I'm excited just because Killer Clowns is a remnant of prior years when Halloween Horror Nights was at its peak.
Well, we will have Man on the Street, Eddie Taman.
Yes.
This coming week? This week?
Yes, this week. I'll be there for my son's birthday, so I'll be making a little trip to the park to check out all the construction in person. And I'm sure by the time I get there, there'll be some new stuff up from what everybody's seen online already. So I'm excited to see it firsthand.
Yeah. Eddie will be there, you know, filming all the things. So make sure you are subscribed to Eddie Tame on YouTube. So he'll have all his fun experiences out there, and we'll talk about it next time we're on the mics.
For sure. Is that everything today?
It was a big week, Eddie. Wasn't that enough? Aren't you exhausted?
Yeah. That was an emotional roller coaster.
It was a hell of a week. And I am very much looking forward. I think we are in for another one. So if you want to hear us talk about that, make sure you are subscribed to both of our channels. We release this podcast on both of our channels. So make sure to subscribe to Destination Geek on YouTube as well as Edutainment. You can also listen to this podcast. If you don't have time to watch it on YouTube and you just want to listen to us in the car, you're going to lose a little bit of the visual element, but you're going to hear the dulcet tones of our voices through your speakers. You can also find us on your favorite podcast provider. Just search for News from the Queue, and you can listen to us on the way to and from work or while you're walking on the treadmill at the gym. I don't care where you listen to us, just listen to us because we will be back. Haunt News is coming. I would anticipate, Eddie, I'm gonna put a little manifestation out there. I think next episode will be Halloween Horror Nights. I think the following episode may be Hollow Scream.
Yes.
I think we will have some Hollow Scream news in the next 2 weeks, 2-3 weeks. So make sure that you have hit subscribe on both our channels. Give us a thumbs up on this video. It helps us out, helps get the algorithm knowing that you like this type of content. And most importantly, leave us a comment down below. Let us know your thoughts about anything we talked about in this episode. Let us know what you want us to talk about in future episodes, any parks that you want us to check out, any haunts that you are that you think would be up our alley. We have a ton of haunt content coming up on both channels over these next 2 months. Haunt season is officially here. Eddie, I hit back in Body Works this week. I've already got my Halloween soaps, my Halloween,
what a transition,
my Halloween scents. Eddie went to Michael's this week. Haunt season is here, baby, and we are here for it.
Yep, I'm excited, guys.
All right. So we will catch you in the next episode.
Deuces.